The Tides of Malanon was written as a prelude to an opera based on Irish mythology. In Irish mythology, Malanon was the god of motion and of the waves of the sea. And according to the mythology, at the time when the universe was being built, Malanon swayed all of the materials out of which the universe was being built with fine particles which were distributed everywhere through cosmos. And he kept these moving in rhythmical tides so that they should remain fresh when the time came for their use in the building of the universe. Exaltation was written as a walking tune. I whistled the tune as I walked in steps of three Irish fashion. One knows that an Irish walking tune always has a fundamental of rhythm of three, so that you can rest one foot while the other foot has the accent. Then, according to the Irish, you don't tire one foot completely out the way you do in an American march while the other foot is still perfectly good. The Harp of Life is another of the suite based on the early Irish mythological opera. The god of life made himself a cosmical harp, which was said to stretch from above heaven to beneath hell. And whenever the god of life played on it, with each tone, he created a new living thing. The Lilt of the Reel is simply a dance in the style of a reel. The tune, although it might easily have been an Irish or country mountain tune, is an original one, and the high clusters give it a certain amount of clangor on the top, adding to the merriment. Advertisement, I think the title explains itself. The piece might be said to be a satire on repetitious advertisement of a raucous nature. Antinomy is a set of variations based on the oldest theme that I can remember composing when I was 11 years old. But Antinomy was written in about 1914, and it is an experiment in using this rather modal diatonic tune in a set of rather, dissonant variations. Some of them are with secundal chords, then called tone clusters. And this rises to a pitch so that in the final variation, both of my forearms play every tone they can possibly reach in the chromatic scale, all at the same time and as loudly as possible, sometimes using scales and arpeggios with 16th and 32nd tones. And it was about this that the London Times, which is always right, said that this was the world's loudest piano music and that I was the world's loudest pianist. But of course that was a lot of years ago, and I don't suppose I am now. When I wanted to compose a piece around the idea of an Aeolian harp, which is a tiny wind harp to be hung in a window, so that the wind will produce sound from the silk strings, the tones of the piano seemed a little bit too crass. So it suggested itself to me that if one could only play the harmonies on the strings of the piano directly, that you could have those gusty differences between loud and extreme soft that you might get on a real Aeolian harp. And so a method of playing the chords on the strings was worked out. In Sinister Resonance, the techniques which we sometimes find employed on other string instruments such as violins and cellos is employed on the piano. In other words, one has stop tones at the very beginning on the low strings. Then later on, one mutes the strings at the bridge so that the tone can't go through the bridge and back again. And this produces a tone quality which has its own special values. And thirdly, harmonics are produced by touching the strings very lightly a quarter of the way through, just as one might produce a harmonic on a violin. And all of these things produce a set of tone colors impossible to obtain in any other fashion. The anger dance was composed at a time when I had been very much annoyed by the fact that a doctor to whom I showed a bent up leg suggested that it should be cut off immediately. And since I didn't in the least approve of this, and thinking of it over and over again made me more and more angry, I stumped home on my crutches, and the phrases of the anger dance went through my mind louder and louder as I walked home. The banshee is an Irish family ghost. A woman of the inner world, the word means. And she will be an ancestor of yours who is charged with the duty of taking your soul into the inner world when you die. So when you die, she has to come to the outer plane for this purpose. But she finds the outer plane very uncomfortable and unpleasant, so you will hear her wailing at the time of a death in your family while she's there for the purpose of taking your soul back into the inner world, or whatever member of the family it might be. On the banshee, the sounds are obtained by the player standing at the back of the piano with the pedal open, and the coils on the lower bass strings are played on horizontally. If the piano is in tune, this will produce a very eerie sound, roughly 4 octaves above the keyboard sound, with a strange tone quality of its own, and with the possibility of wailing sounds, which will be heard. There are, of course, many slight variations in the method of producing this, all of which are given in the printed music, which finally was accomplished triumphantly after a great many trials and errors in ways in which these curious sounds might be notated. Fabric is a piece written again before World War I, but this was a piece experimenting in 3 different rhythms simultaneously on the piano. The left-hand part is always in either 8 or 9 to a measure, and the soprano part is always in either 6 or 7. But the middle part, which is the principal melody, starts in 5 and sometimes is to be found in a rhythm of 4 or 3 in the time of a measure, so that these 3 rhythms go discreetly and not too loudly or noticeably together at the same time in a rather lyrical melody. What's This was composed as an encore to Dynamic Motion. The thought was that probably if you played Dynamic Motion, you wouldn't get an encore, so you'd better have one ready to play anyway. And since it is a curious little bit, people very often ask me, what's that? To which I, of course, replied, what's this? Amiable Conversation is just that, although one admits that it was suggested by overhearing a low-voiced and a high-voiced Chinese in conversation in a laundry. So not knowing the subject of the conversation, one was attracted to the different qualities of the voices and the fact that the thing got much more animated as it went on and a little bit higher pitched all around. The Fairy Answer was composed after a visit to my grandfather's place in Kildare. An old gardener took me to a certain spot, a glen, and he said, I hear you're a musician now, and I said, yes. And he said, well, if you'll play your music in one end of the glen, the fairies will come out and answer you from the other end of the glen with their own. And he looked at me rather quizzically, and he said, of course, if you're very materialistic, you might think it was an echo. But then in order that you should know it was not an echo, they always change the music about just a little bit so that you will know it's they themselves. Jig is a piece written in the 20s, and it has a tune that's a little like an Irish folk tune, but of course it's my own tune. It's piquant and rather humorous, and it includes a diatonic modal tune with diatonic modal secundal chords, sometimes played just with the flats of the hand, and sometimes it's played with the full forearm, and sometimes the full forearm tone alternates with a single tone so as to make the melody a little bit more sharp. There's nothing else very special about it that I can think of at present. The Snows of Fujiyama is written around the legend of the snows, which is that they are not really snows at all, those that appear to be along the mountains, but are really the petals of cherry blossoms, each petal representing the soul of a maiden. The Voice of Lur is another of the pieces based on the old Irish opera. In Irish mythology, Lur was the father of gods, and since he had only a half-tongue, he was called Lur of the Half-Tongue. The result of this was that when he gave the words of command to lesser gods to build the universe, they executed only half of his original plan, so the universe is half revealed and half lies within the other part of the tongue of Lur. And that's what's the matter with it, according to Irish mythology. Dynamic Motion was composed at an early experimental date when I first began experimenting with high power dissonances, and it is a constructive piece which concerns itself with lines and volumes of sound in their juxtaposition to each other in various new formal aspects. The Trumpet of Angus Og belongs again to the Irish mythological suite. The Irish gods were, of course, like all gods, immortal, but they were not immortal unless their immortality was renewed by hearing the trumpet of Angus Og, who was the god of eternal youth in this mythology. Tiger was suggested originally by William Blake's poem on Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright. Perhaps one might add to this that in some of these pieces there are the use of tone clusters being on the piano, whole scales of tones used as chords, or at least three contiguous tones along a scale being used as a chord. And at times, if these chords exceed the number of tones that you have fingers on your hand, it may be necessary to play these either with the flat of the hand or sometimes with the full forearm. This is not done from the standpoint of trying to devise a new piano technique, although it actually amounts to that, but rather because this is the only practicable method of playing such large chords. It should be obvious that these chords are exact and that one practices diligently in order to play them with the desired tone quality and to have them absolutely precise in nature.